This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com, and I'm speaking with Gina Vella, who is president of Universal Sweeping Services. Universal and its sister companies are the WorldSweeper.com contractor of the month for November 2009. So congratulations on that, first off.
Thank you very much. We're very proud.
Gina, your company was actually started by your dad. Why don't you give us some background about Universal and what's happened with the company since then?
Well, back in 1958, my dad swept at night and sold during the day, and it started out as a basic parking lot maintenance business, and he was pretty much one of the founders of the industry back in that day. There was not any other type of services like that.
But that would be pretty early on, that's for certain.
Yes, it definitely was. He was going to school and working at the same time, just paying his way through.
What did he use to sweep with, do you know?
He used a ride-on Wayne sweeper that we actually still have in the shop as pretty much a signatory to the history of where it began.
That's amazing because it's arguably 20 years before the real parking lot industry got started across the country.
Correct. And Leonard actually was the founder with a couple other partners of Masco Sweepers. So once he refined the business and realized there was market, but then there wasn't a efficient sweeper other than a ride-on that he was exposed to the elements, he developed a parking lot sweeper.
So quite a double legacy.
Yeah, quite a double legacy. Back in the day, they used to call him the grandfather of the industry. He's definitely a part of our future, but my brother Joe and I have bought him out and taken over the business and hopefully to take it further.
Well, and you have done that. My understanding is that Universal is your parking area sweeping company and that you've branched out and have different names for other components that used to be part of Universal.
You're right. We saw a niche of developing other types of services, which would be our construction sweeping services and our municipal street sweeping services. As Universal grew, it grew into be more than a sweeping company. We do day porter, pressure washing, landscaping, and all sorts of basic maintenance services for the property manager. We've expanded and separated our construction business to statewide construction sweeping, mm-hmm. and that is your highway, road, federal money, in road improvements. And then we also took one step further to separate all of our municipal businesses for residential street sweeping under a third company called Contract Sweeping Services.
That probably makes sense in that roadway services, I would assume, union wage down there.
Correct. Statewide is our union business. We are prevailing wage, and we keep everything out. It's a very easy split between the companies, so we don't have problems overlapping union business with non-union business.
Right. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's key in on Universal aspect of it for a minute, since that's the one you're heading up. What are you doing there for sweepers? Do you use Masco sweepers? Do you use other sweepers?
We mostly use Masco because we have an alliance with that team. I have a team of salespeople and quality assurance personnel. We've done a good job this year of really focusing on keeping the relationship with the customer, cultivating it, developing it during this economic downturn. So when they're asking for 10% cost reduction but more services, we're biting the bullet. We're doing what we can to make it easier for the common area maintenance budget.
Mm-hmm.
In order to see the light when the upside comes, they're going to remember what we did and we were there. Because some money is better than no money.
That's for certain. I know from the California stories that we get from two states away here where I am in Washington State that you've been hard hit in the state budget as well.
We have been hard hit in California. Our state budget is affecting our contract sweeping business as well as the tenants for shopping centers. You know, their sales are down, so they don't want to pay their common area maintenance budget, as well as our municipalities are cutting back from one time a week sweeping to twice a month sweeping.
Mm-hmm. Across the board, I think people around the country are facing those same kinds of challenges. Are there any other kind of tips or advice that you can offer on how to work with customers that are caught in a squeeze?
My biggest philosophy right now is to retain my base and keep my customers, and if I have to cut back to streamline my costs, we've done things like changing our insurance policies for a lesser cost. Going from Blue Cross to a Kaiser is less expensive. We have streamlined our payroll services. We've cut where we can so we can afford to give our customers breaks.
Have you found that it makes a difference to bid your various services you're buying? Have you done much of that, or have you stayed with the same vendors and just asked them to do what they can do for you?
I try to think it's karma. I when we have good relationships with customers, our vendors, I'll go to them and say, okay, this is my situation. Where can we meet in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the same for me. And because over 50 years of business, although it's not been me at the Realm at 50 years, I know these people for so long that they're struggling to make it work. We're struggling to make it work. And if I keep my loyalties, I truly believe things will come back around and others will keep their loyalties to us.
I think that's a very good philosophy. Most everybody is, of course, aware of the situation and is doing everything they can. And that's one of the things to be able to get good service down the road is when you have these loyal relationships that you've built up. And let's face it, in this economy, relationships, as you started out with, are of very paramount importance.
It's sink or swim. You know, if you burn too many bridges, you're going to be sinking pretty soon.
Yes. What other kinds of ideas and tips might you be able to offer for contractors out there? One of the things you touched on is that you provide a host of services. What kinds of services, and how would you recommend that a contractor might get into providing more than just sweeping? What is that path?
First and foremost, sitting down and meeting with your customer, most often they are property managers. And they don't only manage a sweeping service. They manage the full exterior facility of a shopping center. So if you are reducing your costs in sweeping to help them, sit down and suggest, well, I can get into, if you develop a route with 10 shopping centers you manage, I can do the pressure washing for you and reduce that cost by volume. And learn about the pressure washing industry. Go to your local distributorships who sells the pressure washers and ask them to train you on something. Interest rates are relatively inexpensive right now. You can get into something with a nominal investment, capital investment. Once you start answering the needs for your property managers, they will all of a sudden start calling you and saying, hey, do you know about this or do you know about that? And then your database of services will start to expand. When one type of industry falters, the next type of industry will pick up and hopefully give you a balance.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I counsel sweeping contractors that one of the reasons that it's a profitable business to be in parking lot sweeping, especially these days with shrinking margins and increased cost sweepers, is that you're on the property all the time. And who better to do some of these other services for customers?
Exactly. And then once you build that relationship with that property manager, they start recommending you to their coworkers. Or, you know, once property managers have a very strong alliance with associated businesses and other property managers through multiple associations. And that, again, that's something that triggers another way of avenue of getting more business, is really participating, getting on committees with organizations like BOMA, IFMA, IRAM. You can just join a committee, and that doesn't cost any money or any investment, but your name is out there, and you're interacting with these people.
Right, and a lot of times people ask me, well, does it really pay to join IRAM or does it pay to join BOMA? What I tell them is it doesn't really pay if all you're going to do is just put the logo on your website, because those organizations in most cities are small enough that the members realize who it is that's just trying to buy their way in by buying a yearly membership, and who it is that really cares about the organization and shows up to meetings and networks with those people. There's really no better way to network with your customers and potential customers and through those kinds of organizations. If, as you say, you get on a committee and you become active, how can that do anything except help you do your job better and know what your customers want?
Exactly. So you look at it in a certain way, like doing a community service, and you're getting a payback for doing something good, because a lot of these committees that these organizations have do give back to the community. And by doing that, and you just interact, you're sitting down having a coffee, brainstorming on an idea, and, oh, by the way, did you know such and such has a sleeping company? Oh, really? I manage, you know, 200,000 square foot of property. You know, and that's how you make the connection, and it's not such the hard sale, and you enjoy it a little bit better.
Right. And it's a natural way to be able to sign them up for services as well. Let's talk about employees a little bit. Have you learned some things through the years about how to deal with employees, training, safety, any of those kinds of issues?
We definitely, I'm proud to say our workers' comp mod is 0.7%. Universal is fortunate enough to have a large enough revenue source that we have an HR department that focuses on different types of strategy for safety. That has helped us reduce our mod. In doing that, we've increased our revenues by having a mod so low, as well as having employees is good, but we do a 50-50 cut. We have a lot of employees, but we also do subcontracting. In doing the subcontracting, your margins are greater. People might combat the fact that you say you lose control, but if you get good subcontractors, you start them out as employees, then you train them on how to be a good business owner. They start to own and have more pride into what they do. And you just need to have quality assurance personnel out there working to make sure their business is getting done properly and in a timely manner.
Are they selling their services, or are those services provided for them as part of their contractor model?
Their services provided as far as a contractor model. We do encourage, as they get larger, the opportunity to work for other companies, because that really signifies them as an owner-operator and satisfies the needs of the state of California. So they do work for multiple people.
Mm-hmm. That's very good input. Is there anything else that you feel we should talk about? And this can encompass the construction side and the street sweeping side as well, working with municipalities, for example. Is that something you'd recommend for parking area sweeping contractors to get into? Are there tips when you want to expand? I know I get quite a few people that say, well, gee, how do I get into street sweeping? Is there anything there to talk about?
Expanding your business and getting into different types of sweeping, like construction sweeping or municipal sweeping, is a large endeavor. It's a large capital cost that you have to invest in, because the street sweepers are a lot more expensive than a parking lot sweeper, and then the state of California CARB emission rule is a large...
What we might call the draconian CARB emission rules.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Oppressive, or some term like that. I know you've been really going through it down there with the emission standards that California Air Resources Board, or CARB, is laying out for you to follow.
It is making our costs increase up to 20%. So we are losing our competitiveness. So, frankly, right now, I would stick with the parking lot maintenance business and expand the additional services to those property managers and think twice before getting into the construction and the municipal side of the business.
And that's just for people in California primarily, although one of the things to consider is that the 2010 chassis are kind of a relative unknown in what's going to happen with the diesel emissions and that sort of thing, too. So that's another thing to be concerned about.
Most definitely.
One of the real problems with the street municipal sweeping and the construction side sweeping both right now in this economy is that both of those sectors are down in terms of the amount of business, so there's more competition than ever and costs are being squeezed more than ever. But in a normal time, what are the things that a contractor really has to watch out for if all they've done is parking areas and, you know, they get themselves a used street sweeper and know where they can get one and want to go out for contracts? What are the things to really be careful about?
I would make the first steps of doing due diligence and talking and calling the manufacturer of the sweeper that you purchased, finding out their knowledge and picking their brain on how much it really costs per hour to run that machine. I would start with that point and move from there every business owner, no matter what industry you're in, you should know where your break-even costs are as an operating overhead. You add those two totals together, and you're able to then get to a very solid overhead cost to run that sweeper. You know, work it backwards. If you want a 10-12% net profit, what would you need to charge at that point? Everyone's business is different because they have different shop costs, overhead costs. Some people work from their garage, so they have more of a competitive edge.
So one of the things that they have to do, of course, is to get all of those costs down. But then the next thing to consider is how fast can you sweep? How, you know, are you going to be sweeping heavy debris, light debris? How fast will that work? How much will your dumping cost you? And those kinds of things, too. So it's not a knee-jerk reaction to get into this, that side of the business. It's probably a little more profitable than the parking side if you don't do other services right now.
Absolutely. You get more bang for your buck, but there is a lot more risk. You get through the rough times of the slow season, and you bid your good season properly, it should carry you through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can be ready for the next season to tackle it.
So you've really provided a lot of information, both about Universal and about ideas for being a better sweeping contractor in general. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that, Gina?
In general, diversification in business is key. Right now, history has proven that successes and profits have been mostly made in low economies when they're prepared for the upside. So I would just recommend starting to streamline costs now, but be ready and be prepared. Don't cut back too much that you miss the boat when the upside starts.
Very good. Well, thanks again. We've been speaking with Gina Vella, who is the president of Universal Sweeping, and they're located in the San Jose area, and they're the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for November 2009, and congratulations, Gina.
Thank you very much, Ranger. And a footnote, Universal Sweeping is in San Jose, California, but we do service all of California.
That's pretty admirable geography to be able to say you service.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.